Today's Shir's Masechta Shabbos Daf Nun Tes. We will begin on Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis, the last words of the Gemara, Ella Omar Rava. We had left off in yesterday's Shir with a question. We spoke about a bell, and Abaya said that the Braisa says, Nitlu in Veim, if the clappers were removed from the bell, a dayin tumasan aleim, there's still makabel tuma. The question is, how is a bell useful without a clapper? So Abai explained the Gemara, because since the clapper could easily be put back into the bell, that's enough that it should still be considered a keli. To which the Gemara, Rava asked the question, quoting quite a long Braisa, that taught us that the definition of the word chibur, connected, means specifically when they're connected. We spoke about the scissor, we spoke about the plane with the handle on it. So the Gemara's question is, why in our shear are we set, why by a bell, if it's not connected, if the clapper is still not there? Yes, it could easily be put back, but that shouldn't be a reason that it should still be considered mechubur, I mean makabel tuma. So why is the bell missing the clapper still makabel tuma? Answers the Gemara, Ela Marava, because a bell, the bell part, even if it's missing the clapper, has still some use. Hoyl v'royla kishal gabacheres. It can be used because you could put it, bang it against an earthenware pot, and it'll make noise. So it's still useful. And the concept that we have to discuss here is a concept that comes up often in Shas. We've discussed many times in our Shiur in Baruch Hashem that if a keli is mekabel tuma, one of the ways for the keli to be tar is by it becoming broken. But in all those Shiurim, we learned that a keli to be broken means that it has to really be broken. We discussed that if the keli is still large enough that it can hold pomegranates, then it's not considered broken because it still has a use. So that's what our Gemara is saying. Since it's still useful, even if it's not, and we're going to discuss this extensively in a moment, even if it's not its original use perhaps, but if it's useful, it's still tamei. And there's a very big machloikus for Shoinim, how to understand this din, that if it's still useful, then it's still tamei. Everybody agrees, as we just said, that if a keli was tamei and it was broken, but not broken to the degree that it's no longer useful, it's still tamei. The question is, what does that mean? Does that mean that it's b'chlal not tamei? Does that mean that it's not tamei? Or does it mean that it's tamei? Or does it mean that it's tamei only for the tumah that it already had? But since in reality it is a broken keli, a bell missing a clapper is a broken keli, so it's not broken enough that it should lose any tumah it already has, but it is broken enough that it shouldn't be able to be mekabel tumah into the future. That's a machlokes rishon. But again, what's the Gemara saying? The bell that's missing the clapper is not useless. It can be used for banging a kli cheres on it, and therefore, if it was tamei, it remains tamei. It menami, Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, hoil v'royal akishal gabi cheres. Since it's still useful for that purpose, it's still mekabel tumah. So, before we go further, Rashi summarizes all of the halachas that we've learned regarding a bell. Rashi says like this, a bell worn by an animal is not mekabel tumah if it doesn't have a clapper. It's not a utensil, and an item worn by an animal is not considered like a tachshit to be mekabel tumah. A bell worn by an animal that has a clapper is mekabel tumah because it's a full-fledged bell and it's a keli, It's Makabel Toma. A bell worn by a man, we spoke about the slave in yesterday's shir, is Makabel Toma, even if it has no clapper, because it's a tachshit. A bell worn by a child is Makabel Toma, only if it has a clapper. Because, as we discussed in yesterday's shir, the primary purpose of the sound of that of such a bell that's attached to a child is to make a sound. If there's no clapper, it's not Makabel Toma. And now we learned that if a bell had a clapper, but it was removed, the bell still is Makabel Toma because it's still usable. The Gemara says, why is it usable? Because you could bang a kli cheres against it. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan says it has a different use. You could use it as a cup. You could fill it up and use it with water and give a child that needs to drink water from it. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, Rav Yochanan Leboy L'meim Melach Rishayna. So what's happened in our shir? We've discussed a bell without a clapper. And we've discussed in our shir, does a bell without a clapper have any use? And Rabbi Yochanan, and the Gemara identified two uses for this bell. One use is that it could be used as a to bang, a klicheris. And one use is that it could use sort of a cup. Now, the first use that we've identified is similar to the typical use of a bell. It's there to make noise. The second use is an entirely new use of the bell. The bell now is going to be used as a cup. So we're saying, the way the Gemara reads now, that even though the bell is useful, even though the use that we have from it now is not at all similar to its intended use, it's still considered a keli that's Makabel Toma. Ask the Gemara, Rav Yochanan Leboy L'meim Melach Rishayna, does Rav Yochanan say that as long as it's useful, even though the use is not at all similar to its intended use, it's still considered useful? V'tanya, ask the Gemara. The Torah says a very unique Tuma by Azov. The Torah says, V'chol kli asheliei shevalov, anything that the Zov sits on, this is known as Tumas Medrash. Anything that the Zov sits on or lays on, even if he didn't actually touch it, for example, if you'll have 10 mattresses, one on top of the other, and the Zov lays on top of this pile of mattresses, all of the mattresses will have a Tumas Medrash of a Zov, which is a very high-level Tuma. It's an Ava Tuma. But says the Gemara, Kofa Sov Yashav Aleh, if somebody took a basket and he turned it over, kofa tarkif, or somebody turned over a barrel, the yoshev aleh, so is that, and the person who sat on it is a zov, says the Braisiye Tomei, maybe we should assume that that barrel, that basket should become Tomei Medris, Tameloimer, Ashiyeshev alov, Mishem Yuchel Yeshiva. It has to be designated for sitting. Barrels and baskets weren't meant for sitting. If somebody's sitting on a barrel, somebody's sitting on a basket, the owner is going to, whoever it is going to say, this is not meant for sitting. So what do we see? That it has to be, that it's only Makabel Toma if it's meant to be sat on, if it's meant to be laid on. So here too, the bell is meant for noise. So how could Rabbi Yochanan say that the fact that it can be used as a cup is enough to make it be Makabel Toma? Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar Omer, where is there this special halacha that if it's royal kabbalah that it has to be used for its designated use in order to be makabel toma? But midrashos omdim amoyd v'nasal malachteinu, that it has to be there for its original intended use. V'ein omrim, but that's not a halacha that said b'tamei meis amoyd v'nasal malachteinu. So when we're talking about the bell, we're not talking, obviously, about Tumas Medrash. This new concept of Amoy V'Nasim Lachteinu doesn't apply. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Af B'Tmei Meis, Amoy V'Nasim Lachteinu. We say it in all types of Tumah. So now the question is very strong. If by all tumas, Rabbi Yochanan subscribes to a concept of Amoid V'nasa Melachteinu, so how can we say the fact that the bell is usable for a cup? How could Rabbi Yochanan said that the fact that the bell is usable as a cup is enough to make it into Kabbalah's Tumah? Says the Gemara, Epech Kamaisa. We have to reverse the shittas that we began the shiur with today. We began the shiur with today with identifying, the Gemara identifying, Rava and Rabbi Yochanan identifying how could a bell without a clapper be useful. Rava said because it could be useful for using a clay cheres to bang on it. And Rava said, and Rabbi Yochanan said it could be used for a cup. Says the Gemara, we have to turn around those shittas. And Rabbi Yochanan is going to say that the use of the bell is that it could be used for kli cheres to bang against it. And Rav is going to be the one that says it could be used for a cup. And now Rabbi Yochanan's opinions remain consistent. Rabbi Yochanan is always saying that the requirement for Kabbalah's Tumah is that it still have use, but not just that it have use that it's intended for. Ask the Gemara, what forced us to do this? Because we saw Rabbi Yochanan subscribes to the concept of Amoid V'nasa Melachteinu. Ask the Gemara, my chos is the apeth kamaisa, and because of that we reversed what we began the shiur with, ask the Gemara, apeth pasraisa. Maybe we should reverse the second part of the shiur and say Rabbi Yochanan only requires Amoid V'nasa Melachteinu by Tumas Medris, and it's Rabbi Lezer that says it by all Tumas. But if Rabbi Yochanan is saying that Amoid V'nasa Melachteinu is specifically only by Tumas Medris, not by other Tumas, so the fact that the bell is usable for any purpose when it's missing the clapper will be a good enough reason that you'd still have Tumah. Says the Gemara, can't do that. Because Shemina Le Rabbi Yochanan, we see from elsewhere that Rabbi Yochanan by all Tumas holds the boy Me'ein Melach Rishoina, that it should be usable for its original use. The Tanan. There's a Mishnah Masechta Kelim. Says the Gemara, Sandal Shebehema Shamatris. They used to make a metal shoe for an animal. The reason they made a metal shoe for the animal is that it should be able, that its hoofs should not get damaged when it walks on sharp stones or whatever. So it's Makabel Tumah. Now the question is, Lamai Chazi, Omarav, Royal Ishtas Bamayim B'Mechoma. They could use it as a cup. The way it was formed in that semicircle, it could be used as a cup. Rav Chanin Amar, Royal Losuk Ben Shem B'Mechoma. It could be used for oil, if you need to smear yourself with oil. Rav Yochanan Amar, B'Shar Shabarech Min HaKerev, sometimes when a person flees from a battle and he doesn't have a shoe, Menich Baraglov, he puts on the animal shoe for Rots al Kaitz of Abakanim. So what do we see from here? That Rabbi Yochanan was specifically looking that the shoe should have a use which is similar to its original intended use. And that's why we had to find the case that the animal that the animal shoe should have a use for a person. Because if it doesn't have a use for a person, it would never be Mekabel Tumah. So what do we see from here? The Rabbi Yochanan clearly holds that when we're looking for a use, it has to be something which is a Moed V'Nasa Melachteinu, the original use. And therefore, we see that that's Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. This is the second time we found that this is Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. So we have to reverse opinions. We're going to prefer to reverse the first opinions of the shiur. And Rabbi Yochanan says that the bell without the clapper is Mekabel Tumah because it could be used for Kli Cheres to bang on it. Says the Gemara, we have three reasons what an animal shoe could be used for. Ask the Gemara, Mabein Rav Rav Chanina. So what's the practical differences between these explanations? Ikvenai the Mos. If let's say the shoe became dirty, repulsive. So according to Rav, it would not be Mekabel Tumah. Because Rav says that what is it used for? It could use it for drinking water from it. You won't drink water from an animal shoe that's dirty. According to Rav Chanina, that it's used for smearing oil, it's useful. What's the difference between Rav Yochanan and Rav Chanina Ika? The yakar. If it's heavy. So if it's going to be used for smearing oil, or as the Rishonim point out, or for drinking water, the fact that it's heavy is immaterial. But if it's going to be used to run, for the soldier to be able to run when he's at war, that the soldier won't be able to do, because if it's so heavy, he can't wear it and run effectively. The Mishnah continued that a woman may not wear an ir shel zohav on Shabbos. Might be ir shel zohav. Ask the Gemara, what does that mean? Says the Gemara, Rabba Babachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yushalayim the Dahava. They used to have like a gold plate with the skyline of Yushalayim engraved on it. And the halacha is that a woman is not allowed to wear that on Shabbos. Could Ovid Rav Kiva Ladvisa. Like Rav Kiva made such a thing for his wife. So the Gemara Masechet Nedarim tells us that Rav Kiva, we all know, married Rachel, the daughter of Kalba Savua. And when Rav Kiva married her, he was an Amoritz and very poor. Her father, Kalba Savua, was a very wealthy man. And because he was so upset that his daughter married Rabbi Kiva, he said to her, I'm making a nether that you can't have any benefit from me. When they got married, they didn't even have pillows and blankets. They slept on straw. And in the morning, Rabbi Kiva would pluck out the straw from Rachel's hair. To console her, he told her that if he were wealthy, he would make for her a Yushalayim de Dahava. And says the Tosfos HaRosh, if Rabbi Kiva said that, whatever Tzaddik says, we'll have this in the Gemara again, whatever Tzaddik says happens, so ultimately he made her this Yushalayim de Dahava. There's actually a Yerushalmi here in Masechta Shabbos, this Gemara, that says this story, that Rabbi Kiva's wife had a Yushalayim de Dahava, and Rabbi Gamliel's wife was jealous that Rabbi Kiva's wife had it. She asked Rabbi Gamliel to make her one also, and Rabbi Gamliel told her, you know how Rabbi Kiva's wife was able to end up with a Yerushalayim de Dahava? Because she was a person, as we just said, who was moisa nefesh for Torah. She was willing to give up her life to marry Rabbi Kiva, and we know Rabbi Kiva went away for 24 years with all of the Talmidim. A person who's moisa nefesh for Torah, says the Yerushalmi, is zoiche to have such a Yerushalayim de Dahava. Tosfos asks a question that here we're discussing on Shabbos, may you wear an ir shel zohav, which seems to mean that during the week, you are allowed to wear ir shel zohav. As Tosfos, we quoted this in the previous year as well, that the Gemara Masechta Sota Daf Mem Tesom Abay says that Chazal made a gzeira, zeich lechorbin, that you're not allowed to wear an ir shel zohav. So what's the issue of Shabbos? Even during the week, you're not allowed to wear ir shel zohav. So Tosfos answers that the gzeira of ir shel zohav is only for kalas. This, where if you're not a kala, you're allowed to wear an ir shel zohav. And that's exactly, and we spoke yesterday, a girl is a kala either during the first day, 7 days during the Sheva Brachas, or maybe during the first 30 days, but she's not a kala for the rest of her life. And therefore, Rabbi Kiva's wife, after she was a kala, was allowed to wear the ir shel zohav. Continues the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Leseitz Isha b'shir shel zohav. A woman may not go out on Shabbos with ir shel zohav. V'myotza, and if she goes out wearing ir shel zohav on Shabbos, chayv chatas divrei Rav Meir. Because according to Rav Meir holds that a ir shel zohav is a masui, and if it's a masui, if you carry it on Shabbos, you chayv chatas. V'cham oimrim leseitze, one should not go out that way. V'myotza p'tura. But if she goes out, it's part of avalosa. It's only an iser d'rabbonin. Rav Lez oimer, yoytze b'ir, Shazov l'chatchila. A woman could go out wearing an ir shazov. Ask the Gemara, my kumafki, what is the machloikus? Says the Gemara, as we explained. Ramei is sover, masehu. That it's considered a masui. It's not considered a tachshit.
And therefore, on Shabbos, if you go out with a masel, you chayiv chatos. Rabbanan savri tachshidu. It's a tachshid. And as we explained from when we began this perek, on Shabbos, a woman may wear a tachshid. The only thing is, as we started the perek, Chazal said that they should wear tachshitim on Shabbos, because we're concerned Dilma, that she's going to take it off and show it to her friends. But that's only an issa de rabbanan. Dilma shafa machvile, maybe she's going to take it off to show it to her friends. Rabbi Lezer holds even a bigger chiddush. He holds like this: man dakle mepik b'irshazov. An irshazov is a very expensive piece of jewelry. Who could afford such a piece of jewelry? Ishach shuva, only a rich, distinguished woman. Those type of women don't take off jewelry. So now Tosfos, the very masculine man, makes a very important point. So says Tosfos, does that mean that we're going to say that distinguished women may wear all types of jewelry on Shabbos? Because the Gemara, Rabbi Lezer, just said, by such women, we're not concerned that they're going to take off the jewelry and show it? Says Tosfos, that's not the halacha. The halacha is like this, says Tosfos. If it's a piece of jewelry that all types of women have, so we can't start differentiating between different types of women. And because we can't start differentiating between different types of women, all women, whether they're the type of woman that would take off the jewelry, or whether they're the type of woman that won't take off the jewelry, may not wear that jewelry on the street on Shabbos. But if it's a type of piece of jewelry, like the Ir Shel Zov that we're discussing, that only wealthy women wear, and on such a woman, we're learning there's no concern that she's going to take off the jewelry to show it to a friend. So for such a piece of jewelry, Rabbi Lezer holds, you're allowed to wear, she's maybe worn even in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. Kalila is a tiara. So we have a machlokes. What's the halacha on the kalila? Rav Osir v'Shmuel Shari. Rav says it may not be worn on Shabbos, and Shmuel says it may be worn outside on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, as we'll see, there were two types of such tiaras. Daniska, if it was made out of gold or silver, kul amloi pligid osir. Everybody agrees, says the Gemara, that it's osir. Why? Because since it's a real piece of jewelry, we need to be concerned that somebody's going to take it off and show it. The raska, the ruksa, which was a tiara made by, it was a piece of material, and on the piece of material, there were pieces of gold and precious stones. Masava, aniska ikar. The main part, Rav holds that the main part is the pieces of gold and stone, and therefore it's considered like a piece of jewelry, and you can't, Rav holds, cannot be worn on Shabbos, like all pieces of jewelry. Umar Sava, Shmuel's opinion is, a ruksa ikar. The main part here is the material. And since the main part here is the material, it's treated like a piece of material that's not a piece of jewelry. So ask the Rishonim, even if we'll say that it's primarily material, but it still has gold and silver, and therefore it should be considered a piece of jewelry. And moreover, we learned on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis that the poor people that used to wear different jewelry just made out of material, if that's jewelry for them, it's jewelry. So why should this be mutter? So the Rishonim explain, that the Riaz explains, that when it's made out of material, it's viewed as a beged. It's not viewed as a jewelry. And since it's not viewed as a piece of jewelry, the halachas that we're learning in this perek are only by jewelry. That's the way the Riaz explains. The Sfas Emes explains that, again, we just learned that not all jewelry is osur. We learned the jewelry of a wealthy woman is not osur. So here too, this maybe isn't in that category of something that's shown off. Rav holds it is, and therefore it's osur. Shmuel holds it's not. Rav Ashi, however, has a different version of this machlokes, and he has a more lenient interpretation of the machlokes. Ravashi Masna Lakula. Daruksa. If it's made out of material with gold and stones attached to it, Kulamli Pligli Shori, both Rav and Shmuel will agree that it's mutter. Because like we just explained, it's not jewelry, it's a garment. Ki Pligi, the machloikis is when it's made out of aniska, when it's made completely out of gold. Mar Sava, Rav holds, it's a piece of jewelry. And therefore there's a concern, Dilmashafa Machya Vasla Suya, as we're learning the entire perek. Or Mar Sava, Shmuel's opinion, however, is Man Darkal Mepik Beklila, who wears such a piece of jewelry? An Ishik Shuva. Vishik Shuva Loi Shafa Machya. By such women, we're not concerned. So what's the machlokes? If it's such a choshva piece of jewelry, and we learned that that an Ishik Shuva doesn't take it off, what's the issue? So I saw a very nice pshat. The Rajba says a beautiful pshat. He says that Shmuel has like this. An Ershel Zov is very, very expensive. And if a woman gets an Ershel Zov, even if she's a wealthy woman, even if she's an Ishik Shuva, she's so proud of it, she'll show it off. And therefore, there the Chachamim disagree with Rebbe Lezer. And the Chachamim hold that even though only Isha Chshuva have Irsha Zav, we still have to be concerned for the concern of Dilma Shafa Machvil, but a Kalila is an expensive piece of jewelry, but it's not so unique. And it has therefore two positive characteristics. On one hand, only an Isha Chshuva will wear such a piece of jewelry. On the other hand, it's not so expensive that the Ishak Shuva will show it off. And therefore, Shmuel holds that by Kalila, I need not be concerned. Even the Chachamim will not be concerned. Rav holds, no, the Chachamim don't subscribe to the concept of Ishak Shuva. It doesn't make a difference what the piece of jewelry is, and doesn't make a difference who the woman is. And therefore, the fact that the Kalila is worn by an Ishak Shuva doesn't change anything. And therefore, Rav says, you can't wear it. Says the Gemara, Amar lay Rav Shmuel by Rav Chana Rav Yosef, Beferish Amar Lamashmei de Rav, Kalila Shari. He said to Rav Yosef, we have throughout Shas that Rav Yosef would forget his learning, and they would remind him of his learning. So he said to Rav Yosef, I remember you telling us that Rav holds that a Kalila is mutter. So how are you telling me now that it's Asr? Says the Gemara, Amr Leila Rav, Asr Gavra Rabba, there's a great person that came from Eretz Yisrael, Aricha, he's very tall. Asr Gavra Rabba Aricha, a great person who's tall, came to Nadar, Umatla, but he nebuch limps, v'darsh klila shari, and he's saying that klila may be worn on Shabbos. Omer, so Rav says, man gavra rabba aricha ditla, who is that, who must that be? It must be Levi. The Gemara Masechta Sukkah, daf nun gimel amar aleph, teaches us that Levi became limp because he wanted to show Rebbe how kida was done. And because he wanted to show how Kida was done, he harmed himself and became permanently a limp. The Gemara Masechta Tainis, Daf Chof Hei Amar Aleph, teaches us, why did this happen to Levi? Because one time there was no rain, and Levi was going to Tanis, they should fast for rain, and still no rain came. So Levi said to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Alisov Yoshafta Bamarim, you've gone up high, Ve'einat Merachim Abanecha, and you have no Rachmanos on your children. When he made this very strong statement, rain began. But he got punished because of that. That's not the way to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why when he showed the Kida, Hashem waited for when he showed the Kida that he should get wounded. So now, we need to know the history of Levi. The history of Levi is, it's very connected to Rebbe. The Gemara in Masechta Ksubas teaches us that when Rebbe was about Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, that when Rebbe was about to pass away, he said that Rav Chanina Bachoma should be his Memala Mokum, should be his successor. However, when Rebbe was Nifter, Rav Chanina didn't want to become the Rosh Yeshiva because he was concerned for the honor of Reb Ephes, who was 2.5 years older than him. So they made Rav Ephes the Rosh Yeshiva, but it was still inappropriate for Rav Chanina to sit in the Beis Medrash where Rav Ephes gave the shir, because he was, in a way, even greater than Rav Ephes. Rebbe wanted him to be the Rosh Yeshiva, not Rav Ephes. So he sat outside the Beis Medrash. But it was inappropriate for Rav Chanina to sit alone. So Levi became his chavrusa. So if a report now came to Rav that Levi came to Eretz Yisrael, it must be that Levi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. It must be, said Rav, noch nefesh to Rav Ephes. Rav Ephes passed away. V'yasser Rav Chanina Bereisha, and Rav Chanina became the Rosh Yeshiva. And now, v'lehavale inish Levi l'meisa gabei, now Levi has nobody to learn with, because his chavrusa Rav Chanina became the Rosh Yeshiva, and that's why kasul lahachi, he came now to Bavel. Ask the Gemara, who says that that's what happened. Maybe Rav Chanina passed away. Rav Ephes, the Hav Koi Koi. Rav Ephes is still there. But Levi still lost his Chavrusa. Rav Chanina passed away. And that's why the Kosil Hochi, that's why he came here. Answers the Gemara. Im Isad Rav Chanina Shachiv, it was Rav Chanina that passed away. Levi Rav Ephes make of Hav Koi Vlei. Levi would not have any problem to go into the Beis Medrash and learned by Rav Ephes. It was because Levi only didn't learn by Rav Ephes because he was doing it in honor of Chanina. But if Rav Chanina is not here and Rav Ephes was the Rosh Yeshiva, that is not something that Levi couldn't have done. So now the question is, we need to understand, ask the Marshal, Rav Chanina's behavior. Particularly, it was Rav Chanina who, on his own volition, gave up being the Rosh Yeshiva to Rav Ephes. So why is he not willing to go into the Beis Medrash and learn from Rav Ephes? So he explains that even though Rav Chanina gave up this position on his own, still, he always remembered that Rebbe said that he should be the Rosh Yeshiva and not Rav Ephes. So to give it up, that's something that he's willing to do. But to go so far against what Rebbe said, that you should be the Rosh Yeshiva, not Rav Ephes, and now Rav Ephes will be the Rosh Yeshiva, and you'll sit as a Talmud, that he felt would be a terrible lack of respect to Rebbe, and that's why he didn't go in. And Levi stayed with him outside to be his chavrusa. Furthermore, says the Gemara, V'su, Rav cannot imagine that Rav Chanina lo yisagid alei malach, that Rav Chanina should not become the Rosh Yeshiva. Why? Because as we said earlier, when Rebbe passed away, he clearly made a declaration that Rav Chanina b'chama should be the Rosh Yeshiva. And says the Gemara, it says by tzadikim, the sigza oim of Yakim Lach, whatever the decree happens. So if Rebbe says Rav Chanina should be Rosh Yeshiva, Rav said it's inconceivable that Rav Chanina should leave the world without having been Rosh Yeshiva. It must be that Rav Ephes passed away, and now Rav Chanina is the Rosh Yeshiva. Says the Gemara, Dorosh Levi ben Ador, Kalila Shari. Levi Paskin Kalila and Ador, the Kalila may be worn on Shabbos. Nofik Esrim v'Arba, the 24 women wore out wearing Kalila Mikula Nador from the Tai city of Nador. Dorosh Rabbi Baravua, the Mechuza. And Rav Avu gave a drasha mechuza the klila shari v'nafke tamni sari klila mechadim avol. 18 women walked out wearing a klila. What's pshat in this gemara? So one pshat that I saw is that in Hador was the place where Shmuel is the Rav. Shmuel held that you're allowed to wear a klila. But once, and even though Shmuel held that way, and even though Levi held that way, only 24 people walked out wearing a klila. Mechuza, the people were much more lenient people. They were bigger mekilim. And they had even 18 people just from one street wearing a klila. So it's trying to show that Nador was a more religious city than Mechuza. That's the way the Chasam Sofer explains. Ramosha has a different pshat. He says that the lesson of this Gemara is that we made a distinction earlier in our shir between an isha chshuva and a not isha chshuva. So maybe that should be a factor to take into consideration here as well. And therefore, in Mechuza, where in one street, there are 18 people wearing a klila. Whereas in Nador, the whole city only had 24 people. Maybe that should be a factor to take into consideration. Teaches us the Gemara, says Rav Moshe, that isn't a factor to take into consideration. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Says the Gemara, Kamra. Kamra is a type of a belt. It's a very fancy belt, and it's shari, and may be worn on Shabbos. Ikka de Amri, der Kusa. Some say it's a piece of material that has gold on it. Vav Rav Safra, and the reason Rav Safra says it may be worn in Shabbos, Mida de Hava Talis Muzahevis. They used to have talesim that had on them pieces of gold. And even though it's not the talis that everybody wore, still it's considered a tachshit, and everybody may wear it. Another pshat I saw is that who would wear this? Men. And the concern of Dilma Shalfa V'asir L'Chvuyei doesn't apply by men. Vikid Emri, the Niska. It was a type of a belt that was made completely out of silver and gold. V'amar Rav Sifra, me to have a mavnet shemalochim, and that the aloch is that it could be worn, because kol b'nei Yisrael b'nei malochim heim, all Jewish men are considered like malochim, and therefore they could wear this type of a tachshir on Shabbos. Amalei Ravina Larashi, Kamra Ali Hamni Mai. So he asks him a very important question. What's the halacha? Can you wear this fancy belt on top of a regular belt? Amalei, so he responded, Trey Hamni Kaamnit. You're talking about wearing two belts? And there's two pshatim. Most say that you can't wear two belts. There's no purpose in wearing two belts. And two belts may not be worn on Shabbos. Others say just the opposite. The lower belt is not completely sufficient. And since it's not completely sufficient, it may be worn that way. And this opens up a very, very important discussion in the Paiskim. That people that wear a gartel on Shabbos, a belt, a gartel when they daven. And the question is, can you walk out wearing the gartel? So, the way Rashi and Tosfos say, you're not allowed to wear a belt on top of a belt. And Tosfos explains that even though you're certainly allowed to wear two articles of clothing, you can wear two jackets, you can wear two coats, you can't wear two belts. And explains, where it's normal for one to wear two pairs of the same garment, if it's cold, every garment adds warmth, and therefore they're each considered a malbush and can be worn on Shabbos. However, when you're wearing two belts, the second belt is considered a masui. It's not considered a garment, and nobody wears two belts, and it may not be worn on Shabbos. And if we look in the Shulchan Aruch, when the Shulchan Aruch discusses this din, the Shulchan Aruch says two opinions, like we explained, the Machlokes Rishonim in our Gemara, and the halacha is that one should, the Rama says, one should only wear two garments, not wear two garments directly, one on top of the other. So as I said, that opens up the question about wearing a gartel on top of your jacket on Shabbos. So the Michas Yitzchak in Chelek Hei Simen Mem Aleph says that since a person wears a gartel on Shabbos on top of whatever beged he wears, that becomes the way he wears that beged, and it certainly may be worn on Shabbos, even though it's not Shas Tefillah. Even though the gartel is worn typically when you daven, doesn't make a difference. The Debrez Tzina Rav is much more machmer. He says, if you're wearing the gartel on top of your jacket, and typically the gartel is only worn during tefillah, so you have no right to wear a gartel, not when it's Shas Tefillah. The Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasoi is lenient because he quotes a Prima Godim. He says that the Prima Godim says that if the top belt is different, better than the bottom belt, then everybody will hold you could wear two belts. Says the Prima Godim that since the gartel serves a different purpose, says the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasoi, since the gartel serves a different purpose, the gartel is made of a different material, then you could wear it outside on Shabbos, even if you're wearing a belt. Rav Moshe, in the Shas HaTshuvos, Igros Moshe, Chelek Beis, Simen Ayin Vav, is the most machmer, because he takes a entirely different approach. His approach is that, as we've discussed earlier, the need to wear a gartel, he says, is really not that obvious. Because a gartel, he says, there's a pasuk is worn to separate the upper half of the body and the bottom half of the body. He says, b'zman hazeh, that we wear pants. That was a concern, he said, as we discussed the Masech de Brachos, when they didn't wear pants, when they didn't wear a belt. But in the world that we live in, he says, that we wear pants and that we wear a belt, the entire need, Rav Moshe says, to wear a gartel is not really that clear. The issa to carry in Shabbos, as we're learning, obviously is a very serious issa. And therefore, the issa of carrying outweighs any allowance to wear a gartel outside of Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Amar of Ashi, Hai Resuka, the E Islay Mefarchia, if it has ties attached to it, Shari. It's a type of a coat that people wore around the body. So says the Gemara, if it's tied, then we don't have to worry that it's going to get untied and fall in the street on Shabbos and you may come to carry it. But if it's not tied on, we need to be concerned that it may fall off when you're walking in the street and you're going to carry it Dalar Amos and Rosh Hashanah Rabin. We learned further in the Mishnah, V'lai b'katla, a woman may not wear a katla. Ask the Gemara, what's a katla? Says the Gemara, Manat Kaperi. It's like a beged that looks like a bib that was tied around very tightly around the neck. We learned further, a woman may not go out with nezamim. Nezamim are nose rings. Says the Gemara, nose rings, nizmeya af, may not be worn. However, earrings are much more common. And since earrings are much more common and much more difficult to be taken off, therefore, nose rings may not be worn, but earrings may be worn.